Marek had other concerns as the two from the sink drove at him. He parried one thrust with his rapidly drawn gladius. A second attack he trapped with his forearm and then dragged the legionary in, crushing his vox grill with a savage headbutt. Sask had engaged some of the salamanders who had clambered up over the edge of the sink. He stabbed one and shot another before the sniper ventilated his chest and the others dragged the word-bearer down to finish him. He saw Elias barreled over as the salamander officer hurtled into him. The two grappling warriors fell hard against the jetty, which cracked under their weight. A second later, and the wooden jetty split, dumping everyone on it into the filth. It doused the fire still crackling against Narek's armor, who used the sudden shift in terrain to put a pistol burst point-blank into one of his opponents. Grunting, the salamander rolled over and sank into the water. An elbow strike in the second legionary's throat dented his gorget and partially choked him, freeing Narek of immediate enemies. The fall had split Elias and the salamander officer apart. They were close to the edge of the sink and a long drop into the reservoir of filth below. Ignoring the other legionaries, who had started to regroup after the word-bearer's fast counterattack, Narek went straight for Elias.
"What are you doing?"
yelled the Dark Apostle. They were outgunned, with a sniper rifle trained on them at distance. Everyone else in the kill squad was dead, or soon to be, and all their reinforcements were trapped inside the tunnel without any excavation gear.
"Saving our lives!"
snapped Narek, as he took Elias and himself over the edge of the sink and down towards the foaming tumult below. Numion rushed to the edge of the sink and almost jumped. Leodrak stopped him, hauling the captain back by his shoulder guard.
"We've lost enough already," he said, but leaned over and sighted down his bolter.
"Save your rounds," Numion told him, embittered. "They're gone."
Putting aside his anger, Leodrak relented and lowered the bolter.
"We almost had him, that bastard cleric.
He'll want revenge for this. We'll see him again."
"Did you see his arm?" asked Leodrak. "He was wounded recently."
"But not by us."
"Not one of his own?"
"No," Numion said, pensive. "Something else."
After a few seconds of watching the tide of filth still plunging from the outflow and not seeing either word-bearer snared by the current, they stepped away from the edge. Gagosi was alive. His breastplate was blood-stained where a word-bearer had plunged a blade into it, but he was otherwise unharmed. He had long since depleted his reserves of promethium and flexed his left gauntlet irritably. The right he held against Shenra's chest.
"We will remember your sacrifice, brother," he muttered softly, kneeling next to the Tech Marine, whom he had rolled onto his back in repose.
The splinter of jetty Shenra rested on was about all there was left of it. The others were still up to their armored shins in sewage. The Tech Marine was not the only casualty. Dakarai was also dead, on his back in the filth with a knife jutting from his neck. Ukraba had taken a bolt round point blank and would not rise again. The others all carried minor injuries and none that would amount to the wounding inflicted by their brothers' deaths. All present bowed their heads before Leodrak spoke up.
"We cannot even burn them."
"No, we cannot."
Numion went over to the prone form of the dead human, one of the sump catchers, and retrieved Kagosi's cloak to give back to him.
"So we must honor them a different way."
In his left hand, he held up the Fulgurite spear. During their fight, he had wrested it from the Dark Apostle's scabbard. Despair turned to hope at the sight of this mundane object, though none who saw it could explain why. It crackled with power, an inner golden glow that spoke of the Emperor's grace and his near divinity. Stringent steps and sanctions had been taken to refute the idea of the Emperor as a god, but his power had always suggested otherwise, despite the desire to move from superstition to enlightenment. But the past months had begun to challenge that paradigm, for the universe was not the sole province of mortals, be they human or alien. It was the realm of gods, too, and most of them were malign. The word-bearers believed in them, even courted their foot soldiers for graven favors. They had faith, but what they believed in was horrible. As he held the spearhead aloft, Numion knew he had faith too, faith in the Emperor and his design for the galaxy and humanity, and faith that his Primarch was still alive. The power in the Fulgurite seemed to ignite that belief. It ignited it in all of them. He lightly traced his fingers over the sigil at his waist.
"Vulcan lives,"
he uttered simply. Every legionary standing before him replied, first Kagosi and Ikrad.
"Vulcan lives."
Then Gorn and Bataro.
"Vulcan lives."
And Hervak and Kronor.
"Vulcan lives."
With every new voice, the chorus became louder until only one remained. Numion looked his pyre brother in the eye and saw the hurt and pain he held there from when Skatarvar had been lost on Istvan. If any had cause to doubt, it would be Leodrak. The memory of that day and their flight to dropships left a canker of regret in Numion's mouth, but he kept his expression neutral as he regarded Leodrak. His gaze moving from Numion to the spear, to the sigil, and then back again, Leodrak nodded.
"Vulcan lives."
Together they turned their affirmation into a battle cry, shouting at the sky in defiance and as one.
"Vulcan lives!"
They would hold to this belief and use it to give their cause much-needed hope. For the first time since they had run from Istvan, beaten and bloody, Numion knew what he had to do. Going back to stand at the edge of the sink, he signalled to Pergellan, with whom he knew Hriak and John Grammaticus were also waiting. It was time to talk to the human again.